God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and his message on the promise of God. In just a few moments, Dr. Wilton will be taking us to Matthew chapter 24 as we open God's encouraging word together. But we want you to know that we're open to talking and praying with you right now. We would love to connect at 866-899-WORD. That's our phone number, 866-899-9673. Many folks are asking for the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. It's absolutely free. A hard copy you can receive by calling us and letting us know you want it. Or you can sign up for the email version right now online at tewonline.org. It's a great jump start to your day. Dr. Don sends it out about 6 a.m. Sign up online at tewonline.org or call for your copy at 866-899-9673. Dr. Don Wilton.
I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. And these Sundays, I'm going to give us one verse. It's a promise of God. I'm going to give you one verse, a promise that God gives to us in His Word. In fact, my opening message in this series is entitled, The Promise of God's Word. So I want you to look at Matthew chapter 24 and just verse 35. Here's what Jesus said. I love this verse. It's powerful. And it's huge. This is a promise for you and for me. This is what Jesus said. He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." You'll be interested to know that if you go into the original text there, that little word will pass away. We use that word when loved ones go on to be with Jesus, don't we? Many times we will just say, well, you know, my father passed yesterday. We'll talk about someone passed away. And that little word there literally means that loved one is no longer alive on this earth. They are not living anymore. And what we're saying is that in Christ, they're continuing to live. We're going to talk about that. And so Jesus here, speaking in Matthew, was speaking to this group of disciples who were deeply concerned about the world in which they lived. They had big issues they were facing. And they had even bigger issues that they were still to face. They didn't even know. By the way, this has nothing to do with anything. Do you know that 100 years ago, World War I was drawing to a close? My grandfather, for example, Captain Charles Wilton, flew with the RAF, the Royal Air Force. He was an ace squadron fighter pilot in World War I, flying Sopwith camels. They had no parachutes and things like that. I have lots of his letters. I have medals. My brothers and I, he was awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross. You and I have studied a lot about World War I. That culminated with the Treaty of Versailles. The world was not in a good place 100 years ago. And they really thought that when the Great War was ended, that everything was going to be just fine. In fact, the superpowers of that day, our president's name was President Wilson, Woodrow Wilson, divided up the world, and colonial Africa came out of that, and so on and so forth. But very quickly, after the peace was signed, things began to happen because the economy was not good. They didn't know about the crash of the stock market in 1929, which was devastating. But there was one little corporal fella in the German army by the name of Adolf Hitler who had written a book called Mein Kampf. And out of all of the divisions that were going on in the world and the economic struggles, this one man rose up and eventually took over control of Germany. They regrouped, they rearmed, so that by 1938, the world once again was plunged into what you and I know as the Second World War. We Americans did a great deal. In fact, many people will agree that without American intervention, notwithstanding the horrors of Pearl Harbor and the reasons why our nation was pulled into that conflict, it was horrible. We came out of the Second World War, and peace was signed, and the enemy was defeated, and the Nuremberg trials were held, and went into a time of prosperity in America and in many parts of the world. And here we are today. Look at our world today. So much can be said about our world today. We've got questions. A lot of questions. What about North Korea? What about nuclear? What about the political situation? Who can you trust? Have you noticed how friends today can very quickly become enemies tomorrow? Something's going on. And Jesus said this. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, will die. Now, wait a minute now. Was he saying that heaven is going to die, is going to no longer exist, and earth is no longer going to exist? Exactly, that's what he said. Now, how can that be? Do you mean all our loved ones in heaven are suddenly going to be affected, or ourselves if we get there? What about this earth? Does that mean the world is going to explode? What was Jesus saying? And then he said, but my words will not pass away. I'm going to give you a promise that heaven as you know it through me today will be completely different. It's going to pass away. And even this earth is going to be completely different. It will pass away. But I'm going to give you my word. And my word will never pass away. So the question is, well, what is his word? What was Jesus trying to say? Now, these jolly fellows back in Jesus' time, they must have been suffering from major consternation. And Jesus had something to say to these people who loved him, who had devoted their lives to him, that had heard him talk about going to the cross and giving his life. They'd heard him repeatedly saying, my time has not yet come. In fact, I think it was just a few days ago, I was right there in Cana of Galilee. And you'll remember how Jesus arrived in Cana at Galilee and he performed the first miracle there. And there were all these people at this wonderful wedding and suddenly they ran out of wine, and that was a terrible issue to face at a wedding like this. And it was Jesus' mother who knew better. She came to Jesus and she said to him, son, they've got a problem. We're at this wedding and we've run out of wine. What shall we do? And Jesus spoke back to her as God. He spoke back to her out of the depth of his divine promise. And he looked at her and he didn't say, oh, mommy. He didn't say, mother dear, please don't worry me. He said, woman, I want you to know that I have something to say to you because I am God. And I want you to know that my time has not yet come. But in the meantime, you go tell them what you know to be true. And so Jesus' mother went to all of those people there and the servants and said, there's one thing I do know about Jesus. Now, she didn't explain this to them, but she had pondered these things in her heart because she had been overwhelmed by the Spirit of the living God. She knew in her heart that Jesus was the Christ. And she said to those servants, whatever he says to you is an absolute promise. Don't question it, just do it. Well, we find this repeated here in this great eschatological discourse, in these chapters in which Jesus here speaking to his disciples was trying to give them something that they could hold on to. He was trying to tell them that it was going to be just fine. So they came to him, and in the opening verses, they essentially asked him three questions. You can read them yourself. They right there in verse 3, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and what will be the sign of the end of the age." Those are the three questions that they asked of Jesus.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of today's message on the promise of God. And when those questions are being asked, the reality is we all have questions at times. And if you need someone to help walk through some of those questions, pray you through some of the answers, we may not have all the answers right away, but we'll discover them together in this book, the Bible itself, God's encouraging word. If you haven't jotted it down, note the number. It'll connect you with one of us 24 hours a day at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, we would love to connect with resources that will help you beyond these 30 minutes of Bible study, including our Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. It's the most popular resource we have. It's absolutely free. If you'd like a physical copy, then we'd be happy to send that to you. You can call 866-899-9673 and ask for your copy, or you can sign up online right now at tewonline.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
So they came to him, and in the opening verses, they essentially asked him three questions. You can read them yourself. They right there in verse 3, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and what will be the sign of the end of the age." Those are the three questions that they asked of Jesus. And by the way, it's interesting to me that Jesus was on the Mount of Olives. You know what he did when he was on the Mount of Olives? Just like he did with the Beatitudes, he sat down. Do you know why Jesus sat down when he spoke to the disciples? Because every time Jesus sat down, he was showing them who he was. Because he was the same one seated at the right hand of the Father who gave up temporarily his seat at the right hand of God in order to become flesh for us, to take upon himself the sin of the world, that through him we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. So Jesus sat down and spoke to them as God. Now Peter didn't do that. When Peter, after Pentecost, stood on the southern steps of the temple, and he spoke to the people as they were coming and going, and he shared with them about the gospel, and they baptized that same day 3,000 people. Peter stood up and raised up his voice. Peter couldn't sit down. I can't sit down. Why did Peter stand up when Jesus sat down? Because Peter was a man, and when Peter spoke, he stood there in his high priestly role, knowing that the curtain had been torn from top to bottom, that you no longer had to go through a priest in order to find God, that God had spoken through his son Jesus Christ. And Peter stood there in his high priestly role and said, "I want you to know that all of you can stand upon the promises of God." And so these disciples came to him. They were worried. The Romans were rattling their saber. Jesus had been making some statements. Jesus even told them, he said, "I want you to know." Remember, he was right there at the temple, that place where the Golden Dome is today. And Jesus said, "I want you to know," in verse 1, he said, "the time is going to come. There's not going to be one stone left upon another. Something catastrophic is happening." That was the first question. When will this happen? Well, we know when that happened. It happened in 70 AD. Then they followed up with the next two questions. What will be the sign of your coming? You've told us you're coming back. When are you going to do this? You're our only hope. And then they asked the third question, and what will be the sign of the end of the age? They separated out three things. The destruction of the temple, we know the answer to that. The sign of Jesus coming, we know the answer to that. The sign of the end of the age, the end of the age is a different thing to the coming of Jesus in the clouds. And they wanted to know what's happening in our world. Do we need to be ready? And so Jesus looked at them and essentially he said, well, I want you to know that there are three warning signs that you can look out for. I'm being very straightforward with you today. This is a massive subject. Three warning signs. Number one, deception. He said, if you want to know what it's going to look like before I come again and then before the end of the age, the first thing you need to be aware of is the issue of deception. Well, look at verse 4. Jesus said to them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, and they will lead many astray. This deception. Walking around the Middle East, you can see that deception everywhere. There are icons to every god known to man. Be very careful who you listen to and who you watch and what books you read. Be careful, my friends. Don't fall for it. And I just want to say to you, the greatest place you can be is immersed in the Word of God. If you don't study the Word of God, you don't stand a chance. Because the human heart is so gullible. We are affected by emotions and smooth talk. Watch out for false Christs and false prophets deceiving you. Watch out for people in America who claim to know things and who handpick certain events and build ministries around them. Be very careful. Jesus said there will be great deception. He said, if you want to know about what's going on, there's also going to be great disinterest. Well, if you go into verse 12, I'm really just doing a summary here for you. In verse 12, Jesus said, and because lawlessness will be increased, watch this. Watch this now. Because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. One of the signs of Jesus coming, and a sign of the approaching imminence of the end of the age, is that more and more people will become cold-hearted in their disposition, in their attitude, in their devotion to Christ, in their want to be around godly people. Are you one of those? You must be careful of two things in this world. One is what I call the one-foot club. Do you know what the one-foot club is? It's a man who has one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. That's the one-foot club. Just can't get it. The pull of the world is just so strong. I want you to know that I love you and I'm praying for you. You got to take that foot out of the world. Love not the world. Be devoted to Christ. The other one is those that have diminishing love. There was a time when you served the Lord with a whole heart, but something's happened. You've moved from the front row to the back row to the outer row, symbolically speaking. It was a time when a great fire burned in your heart. But something's happened to you, brother, sister. Jesus spoke about you. Do you know Jesus said something that was very hard? He said, if you're neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, you cannot lose your salvation. So the issue always is whether or not you were genuinely born again of the Spirit of God to begin with. And you know, that's why I have great joy in inviting you to come to know Jesus. Do you know, a couple of days ago, standing in the shadows of Mount Nebo where Moses stood looking across at Jericho. It happened again. Right there at Bethany where Jesus was baptized. Same place. You remember how the children of Israel came over the mountain and they had to cross through the Jordan Valley. You know what God did? He parted the water. Remember, he did that when he got them out of Egypt. He parted the water and he delivered them to the promised land. Jesus came, stood in that same water, be baptized by John the Baptist. But this time, God didn't part the water. He parted the heavens. And he said, "This is my beloved Son." And Jesus was saying, if you belong to me, you will follow me in salvation because you have through these waters of baptism. And I want you to know as a result, the heavens will be opened to you. This is what pleases me. It happened again. We had another person give their life to Christ right there, as we did in years before. As I stood there and shared the gospel in that same place. You know, Jesus here was trying to tell the disciples something. He said it'll be a time of great deception and a time of great disinterest, but it'll also be a time of great distress before I come in the clouds and before the end of the age. He tells us that verse 6, look at verse 6 as an illustration. You'll hear wars and rumors of wars. He was talking about famines and earthquakes and tsunamis and hurricanes. I'm not one of those who try, perhaps because of my own lack of education in these parts, but I don't try to count and attach significance to what seismologists tell us. But I will say to you that it seems to me that we seem to have had an awful lot of catastrophic storms going on, don't you think? Which is not to say that they haven't been there before. What was Jesus saying? What Jesus wanted them to know was that he's the God of promise. And his promise was incorporated really in three wonderful statements. The first is in verse 30. He speaks about the promise of Jesus appearing in the clouds. Verse 30, then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. The Bible tells us, my friends, that at a time known only to the Lord Jesus, all of a sudden Jesus is going to appear in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible's very clear. Revelation chapter 4. The heavens are going to open and Jesus is going to come down, not to this earth, but to the heavens. We are going to be caught up. He's going to gather his elect. He's going to gather those who are alive and remain in him to join those of our loved ones who are already with him in the clouds, and we're going to be with him forever. You might say to me today, well, Pastor, when exactly is that? I don't know. We don't know. But Jesus looked at his disciples and he was saying to them, I just want you to know this is my promise. I'm coming. I'm coming. The second is the joy of believers in their gathering. It's not only the appearance of Jesus in the clouds, but the second element of his promise in verse 31 is he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. The whole of God's galactic sovereignty will be included in the gathering of all those who belong to him. I'm one of them, and I know you are too. And we're going to have a great gathering in the clouds. And he's going to take us, and we're going to be in heaven for 7 years up there, as it is right now, because we haven't got there yet. Remember, Jesus said heaven's going to pass away. So now we're still up there, because down here on this earth is still going on. But this earth is now under the control of the unholy Trinity, the Satan known as the dragon, the false prophet, and Antichrist, the unholy Trinity. Revelation chapter 13. We're going to be gathered together. Are you going to be in that gathering?
What a powerful day of Bible study, and what a powerful question Dr. Wilton finished with. Are you going to be in that gathering? I pray that, as Dr. Don would say, you know that you know that you know, that there's no doubt. Because I guarantee you, today is the day you can erase that doubt if you're just willing to give us a call and let us talk and pray with you. There's no reason to live in fear of the future. God loves you and has a plan for your life, and it's a good plan. And no matter what the enemy or anybody else have said to you about how far you have drifted or even run from God, even turned your back on God, this is a broadcast that we believe God has brought into your life today to let you know that He is ready to receive you. I pray that you'd open your heart to what our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton, is sharing next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
What a great day. Perhaps the best day ever for you. If you just gave your life to Jesus Christ, if you just rededicated your life to Jesus Christ, we're so excited. Dr. Don would love to hear your story. Why don't you give us a call and let us talk with you. Let us share some great resources with you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. Again, we have wonderful free resources for those of you that have given your life to Christ or rededicated your life, and it'll help you take the next steps to grow in your faith. If you'd rather meet keyboard to keyboard, again, the website is tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or this phone number, 866-899-9673. And many have asked about the book Defying the Odds and the message series Faith in the Midst of Crisis. Well, the details on how you can get your copy are next.
We believe in the power of prayer. We all know of someone who stands in the need of prayer. But what about you today? Do you need someone to pray for you? What concerns you today? Is something or someone weighing heavy on your heart? Call us at 866-899-WORD. We're here for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 866-899-WORD. All prayer calls are confidential. We would love to pray for you. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
It's been a great day here at The Encouraging Word, and tomorrow, a unique and long title, The Promise of the Only Way It Can Happen. What is it? Tune in tomorrow and discover. Between now and then, let's stay connected online at tewonline.org, or meet us on the phone. We would love to talk with you and pray with you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673.
The Encouraging Word.